Heavenly Father, as we open the Bible, the Word of God, we're so grateful that that Word is different than any other book written by man. Even though the Bible was written by over 66 authors, or 40-some authors in 66 books, yet the inspiration of the Word of God is the Holy Spirit, who brings it all together into one message, and that is the message of redemption, bringing man back to the Father, the Heavenly Father. So today, Father, I pray that You would just give us all a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, that we might understand the grace and the glory and the goodness that You offer to every one of Your children. And confirm Your Word with miracles and signs and wonders, that the world may know that we serve a living God, a God who still is relevant and still cares for His children today. And we'll thank You for that and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk for just a few minutes on the subject of the dignity of man. And some might think that's a kind of a different subject to be talking about on Mother's Day. Well, this is Sunday, May the 9th, 2010. We're celebrating Mother's Day and we honor all of our mothers. But I want you to know that every single one of us, we all owe a deep debt of gratitude to our mothers for giving us life. Amen? Whether your mother is still living or not, whether you have a good relationship, a strained relationship, you have one mother, one woman gave birth to you. And as we choose to honor our parents, honor our mothers and our fathers, the Bible tells us that God will honor us. Amen? And you need to know that that promise is still good and still valid today. In Ephesians 6, Paul the Apostle in the New Testament was quoting, actually, from the Old Covenant, and he made this comment, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Notice it says, "Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." There are some children, unfortunately, they're living in abusive households who have parents that are not believing parents, that do not believe in God, and so they don't order their house according to the Word of God, and I don't believe God wants anybody to submit themselves to ungodliness. Amen? But if you're living in a Christian home and you know that you're trying to live and serve God in a righteous manner, one of the things that children need to respond to is the correction and the discipline and the love and the nurturing that their parents can give them. And so children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God said that this is right. Honor your father and mother. Today, we're honoring mothers on Mother's Day. We honor fathers on Father's Day. But we need to honor our parents every day. Amen? Every day, we honor our father and our mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And that promise is, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. I think it's really neat that the promise that God gives to us for honoring our parents is that we can live a very long life. If we live a very long life, hopefully we'll have the opportunity to be parents ourselves one day, and then our children will honor us. Amen? And parents have a responsibility to instruct their children in the Word of God. And part of that is learning how to walk with dignity. And today I want to share again, as I said, the subject is the dignity of man or the dignity of mankind, that our true dignity comes from our relationship with the Lord. One time I heard a person talking and they were criticizing somebody and they said, "Oh, that man is so vain. Look at him. He's always combing his hair. He's always fixing his tie. He's always doing this." And, and somebody had the boldness to go up to him and say to him that they thought he was a very prideful man. And I knew the man personally, and I knew that he really wasn't that way. He wasn't a prideful person. And he said to them, "Well, you need to understand there's a difference between pride and dignity." He said, "I have dignity." He said, I like to look my best for God. I'm not doing this for you. I'm not doing it for anybody. I'm doing it as unto the Lord." And you know what? I think that we should live our lives in a way that glorifies the Lord in everything that we do. Amen? Amen? The way we act, the way we talk, the way we dress, the things that we do, the places we go. We should always keep in mind that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, that we represent Him wherever we go and whatever we do. And so we want to do it to the very best of our ability. Amen? Amen. So parents have a great responsibility to instruct their children to find their true dignity in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The writer of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." So a father and a mother have a responsibility to train and to teach their children to honor God and to find their true sense of self-worth and dignity in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Psalm 8 is a psalm that was inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by David, that has to do with the glory of God and the dignity of man. Now, let me read it to you from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. It says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crowned him with glory and majesty, and make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven, and the fish of the sea. Whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth." Notice how this psalm begins and ends with the same words, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." When he says, "O Lord, our Lord," we know who he's talking about. Amen. He's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, because he alone is Lord. And in the book of Acts, Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit in Acts 4:12. When he made this comment, he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." You know, we have a unique responsibility as Christians to take the name of Jesus Christ to the world. We hear the world using the Lord's name in vain and cursing and swearing, using His name that way. But we have an awesome responsibility to use that name to bring blessing into this world. Amen? "I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ." That name is above every other name. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There are great names in the world. There are great philosophies in the world. There are great religious leaders in the world, but none of them can save you. According to the Word of God, there's only one name that brings salvation. That name is Jesus. The angel announced His birth by saying, "His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." It's that name of Jesus. There's power in that name. There is authority in that name. There is dominion in that name. There's healing in that name. There's provision in that name. Everything that you and I need in this life comes through the name of Jesus. "Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." That name works everywhere. It's universal. I don't care what culture, what language, what nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every tribe responds to the name of Jesus. Amen? And we need to give glory to that name. Notice he says, "How majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens." Now, you know, they tell us that there are at least three levels of heaven. The first heaven, the atmosphere, that we can look up and see the clouds, and the second heaven, which is between that atmosphere and the throne of God. And then the third heaven, where the throne of God actually is. Paul said, "I knew a man in Christ, whether in the body or out of the body, I could not tell. Such a man was caught up into the third heaven, and he saw things which was not lawful for him to utter." We know that there is a third heaven. There's a heavenly realm up there, and God lives above that. It says here, "You have displayed your splendor above the heavens." Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 113, verses 1 through 6. He says, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is enthroned on high? Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He makes the barren woman abide in the house as a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. You see, God is so majestic that we look up into the heavens, but God humbles himself to look down on the heavens. That's how awesome he is, how great he is, how majestic he is. He goes on in Psalm 8:2 and he says, from the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. Now, that verse could be a little bit confusing, but actually what he's talking about and the illustration he's using there is that children are totally dependent upon their parents for everything. Amen? Those of you who have young children and babies especially, you know that when you bring them home from the hospital, they cannot take care of themselves. If you don't take care of them, they will not survive. So they are completely and they are totally dependent upon you as parents. And the illustration that God is using here is that he wants us as his children to be totally dependent upon him as well. But you know something, there's that pride factor in us so often that we don't want to be dependent upon the Lord. We want to do it our way, amen? We want to have our way and do things the way that we want to, but every time we do that, we mess things up. But God has established praise through the mouth of infants and babes. In other words, infants and babes, they praise God. In a sense, if you'll look at it this way, their cries for help are a testimony of their dependency upon their parents. And God is saying he wants us to cry out to him in worship and praise, and know that we can depend on him for everything. In John chapter 15, Jesus made the comment, I am the vine and you are the branches. Except you abide in me, you cannot bear fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you realize that? That apart from him, we really can't do anything? Oh, we might gain the applause and the accolades of man, and we might accomplish a few things, but when it comes down to in light of eternity, God says, if you don't abide in me, then anything that you do is just going to be wasted. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 when he talked about love. He said, if I can speak with the tongue of men and angels, and I can prophesy and know all mysteries, and I can give my body to be burned, and I can give to the poor, and I can do this, and I can do that. But he said, if I don't have love, it's just all worthless. It's just all in vain. It's to no avail. And basically, what he's saying here is that unless we abide in the Lord, then we really can't do anything worthy of him. Amen? And you know, the beautiful thing about it is, if you stop and look at what the message of grace is telling us, is that there is nothing that we can do to impress God, and there's nothing that we need to do to impress God. Because our Heavenly Father is already impressed with what Jesus has done. And when we're in Jesus, He's impressed with us. Do you know how much He cares for you today? How much He loves you? Those who are self-sufficient are foolish. They think they can do it on their own. They think they can take care of themselves. They think that they know what life is all about, but really we know nothing until we know Jesus. The disciples themselves were arguing among themselves about who was the greatest, you know? In Matthew 18, it said, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a child to himself, and he set the child before him. And then he said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." That's what the Lord expects of us, and that's what the Lord wants us to do. And that's what, if we will obey that and do that, that's when we will begin to see results and answers to prayer. Do you realize, as much as we may struggle and strive sometime to please God and to impress God, again, the only thing that He is impressed with is Jesus. And if we will just humble ourselves and admit that apart from Him, we can do nothing. If we'll just humble ourselves before Him and say, "Abba, Father, I need You. I am totally dependent upon You. Without You, I cannot do anything." If we'll do that, the Bible says that if we humble ourselves before God, then He will lift us up. Amen? Amen. So we need to be mindful of that on a regular basis. We need to remind ourselves that we can't do anything on our own, but we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Amen? That's the beautiful thing about it. It's not like that God is wanting to keep you under His thumb. He wants to raise you up and lift you up to sit with Him in heavenly places and to enjoy the beauty of His creation. Did you ever stop to think that when God created everything, He created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested? But on the sixth day, what do you think was the most important thing that God created was? Anybody tell me what was the most important of all of His creation? Anybody, just say it. Yeah, man. And He waited until the last day. He created everything that He created those first 5 days, and then on the sixth day He created, and He created man. And the reason for that was everything that He had created those first 5 days was a gift to man. He created it for mankind. He said, "This is yours. This is my gift to you." The works of His hands, the heavens, the stars, the galaxies, everything. And we're just now beginning to explore them. But oh, just think what it's going to be like when Jesus takes us there on a journey and on a tour. Amen? Right now, we're spending billions of dollars just on trying to put a rocket up there and stick a satellite or two and poke our nose around and see what's out there. But when Jesus comes, glory to God, we're going to be caught up in His glory, and we're going to see things and go places and do things that our minds never imagined possible before. But with God, all things are possible. When God created everything, He created it for His man, for Adam. Amen? He created it for him. Now think about this. Think about this. Somebody once said the reason that He created Adam on the sixth day was if He would have created him earlier, man would have tried to take credit for everything that was created the rest of the week. But God receives the glory. He made it all, and He made it all for us, and He gave it to us. Verse 3 of Psalm 8 says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained." Now, think of this imagery right now. You know how great and how vast the heavens are. Amen? I mean, right now, our most powerful telescopes can only reach out so far. And they know that beyond the reach of visibility, there are other galaxies that just continue on and on and on. And planets and systems and things like that. Now think about it. And it says that all of that is the work of God's fingers. If all of that is so big, how big is God if He did it with His fingers? It's just a testimony of the omnipotence of our Heavenly Father. Now, obviously, when David was writing this and he was thinking of the awesomeness of God, he may have been out in the field one night looking at the sheep and tending the sheep, and looked up and the sky was bright and he saw some shooting stars and maybe saw the moon. And the anointing of God came on him and he thought about the vastness and the beauty. And then he looked at himself as just one little individual standing there. And he asked the question that probably all of us have asked at one time or another. What is man that you are mindful of him? How many of you sometimes just really feel very insignificant? Amen? I think we all go through that from time to time. We stand in the presence of something that's awesome and big and great, whether it's something of nature or something that man has created. We feel so small. We feel so insignificant. In verse 4, David said, "What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" Son of man was just at that time was an Eastern term talking about mankind. Later on, it actually became kind of a prophetic a term because Jesus used it of himself. He called himself the Son of Man, meaning that he was born of man. So we're talking about mankind here when we say, "What is man that you take thought of him, and the Son of Man that you are mindful of him?" That you take thought of him. What is man that thou art mindful of him? We're born. All of us are born with a low self-esteem. Some of us, it's a little bit more obvious than others. Some, through training, have overcome that and gone the other direction and become prideful and narcissistic and whatever. But basically, we're born with a low self-esteem and we have very little dignity. But when we are born again, when we're born of the Spirit of God, we were born again to reign in life through Jesus Christ. God wants us to rule and reign in this life through Jesus Christ. God is not withholding any good thing from those who walk uprightly before Him. We find our true dignity in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, since we're talking about dignity and the dignity of man, I looked up the word dignity in the Webster's Dictionary, and one translation says it is, quote, "the quality or the state of being worthy, honored, or esteemed." The quality or the state of being worthy, honored, or esteemed. And so having dignity means that you come to realization that you have worth, that you are worth something, that you deserve to be respected, that you deserve to be esteemed, that you deserve to be honored, that God doesn't look at you as just a slave or a piece of property, but God loves you more than anything else in His creation, because everything He created it for you. You need to see yourself that way. Some of you are listening to me right now, and you're thinking, I'm going through a difficult time. They're going to shut my utilities off. I can't pay my bills. And you're up there talking about how much God loves me. And well, you know what? He really does. And if you will look to Him and turn to Him and put your faith and your trust in Him and cry out to Him and humble yourself before Him, He'll pay your utility bills for you. He will. He'll take care of your needs. He'll feed your children. He'll clothe your children. He'll educate them, because God honors His promises to you. And He said, "I will meet all of your needs through my riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know, I've noticed that God doesn't often give. He's not arrogant, or He doesn't necessarily overdo it. He always gives us more than we ask for. But I notice that He's not flamboyant in the sake that even with the children of Israel in the wilderness, they needed manna. He gave them exactly what they needed and how much they needed, but He only gave it to them one day at a time. He didn't say, "I'm stockpiling 40 years worth of manna over here. Just go get however much you need whenever you need it." No, He wanted them to go out every day and get fresh manna every single day. He sent it to them every single day, one day at a time, and that established a communication and a relationship with Him. They had to depend upon Him one day at a time. They didn't depend upon the manna, they depended upon the God of the manna. Amen? And Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Some of us are saying, if I just had 10 million bucks in the bank, I would feel comfortable. Maybe you would, but at the same time, Your security should not be in money and material things. Your security should be in your relationship with the Lord. And when your security is in your relationship with Him, then perhaps He can trust you with that money. And He'll release it to you and He'll give it to you. But know this, you know, you will not impress God with your money. You will not impress God with your works, with your giving, or anything else. God is already impressed with you because you believe in Jesus. He loves you and He wants to bless you. Just make that fine-tuning adjustment and get things right with Him. And let Him establish the true dignity of your heart. Only Jesus can restore the dignity of mankind. In verse 5, David goes on to say, "Yet you have made Him a little lower than God, and you crowned Him with glory and majesty." Now, in the King James Version, it says, and other translation too, maybe the NIV, whatever one you're reading, it says that you made Him a little lower than the angels. But the word angels there is the Hebrew word Elohim, and it's the same word in Genesis 1:1 that says, "In the beginning God," in the beginning Elohim. Most Bible translators and commentators will tell you, as the New American Standard, which is a very good word-for-word literal translation, this verse literally says that we were made a little lower than God. In other words, in the chain of creation, we're not under the angels. The angels are under us. We don't take orders from angels. Angels take orders from us. Angels are not going to judge us. We're going to judge angels one day. And so understand where you're at in relationship with God Almighty. You were made just a little lower than Him. Now watch this. He goes on to say, "And you crown Him with glory and majesty." Anybody that wears a crown is royalty. If you wear a crown, that means you're royalty. And God says, "I put a crown on you. I have crowned you with glory, His glory, and with majesty, His majesty. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name." We share in that name. Christ, the Anointed One. We are Christians. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. And He has lifted us up. And He has restored our dignity. We were created just a little lower than Him. In Genesis 1:26, it says, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds," listen to this, "of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." I heard one preacher say that we have authority over creeps. Verse 27, "God created man in His own image, in the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Do you understand that? God created you just a little lower than Himself in order to share His dominion over the works of His hands. He said, "I have given you authority over all the works of My hand." That's why even in nature, animals are generally afraid of humans. They generally steer clear of them. You know, even a big old grizzly bear will run from you unless it's protecting its food or its cub, or you come up on it and you scare it. Big awesome animals that would be able to trample you down, usually if they get your scent, or they see you first, they will generally run from you. They will steer clear of you. And I know this for a fact, that if you know who you are in Christ Jesus, then you can walk in boldness and authority in the name of Jesus, and you can take authority over the animal kingdom. I've done it on more occasion than once. I used to jog a lot when I was younger, and I'd go in this neighborhood, and there were these dogs that would run out and chase me and everything. And I'd just say, "Shut up in Jesus' name." And they'd just look at me and shut up and walk away. I just took authority over them in Jesus' name. The animals know. Sometimes people don't respond as quick as animals do. Amen? But dominion is a shared gift from God. And it helps to establish our dignity in Christ Jesus. Once again, Genesis 1:28, he said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." That means put it under your authority. Subdue the earth. "And rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Every living thing that moves on the earth, we have dominion over it. You know, everything that we need to survive and prosper and succeed in this life is in the creation. God put it there, and then He gave us a mind and a wisdom to be able to research and find these things. Amen? And this is the dignity of mankind. And we'll conclude this. Verse 6, he says, "You make Him to rule over the works of your hands. You've put all things under His feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all of the earth." You see, the dignity that God restores to us through our faith in Jesus Christ also gives us a certain authority to walk in His power on this earth. We are not only heirs of God, but we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And Paul, speaking to the Philippian church in chapter 2, I think it's around verse 5, he said, "And God also has highly exalted Him," Jesus, "and given Him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow, every tongue confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." When we understand who we are in Christ Jesus, our dignity is restored. And we walk in dominion. And we walk in authority. We walk in victory. We walk in success. And we walk on this earth the way God intended us to walk. And to tie all this together, what does this have to do with Mother's Day? Well, our mothers gave us life. And our Heavenly Father has given us new life through Jesus Christ. And as we receive that new life, we'll walk in the dignity that God intended us to have, and we'll walk on this earth as His ambassadors, as His representatives, and we will restore that which sin and Satan tried to steal from us. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me? And would you reach out and take the hand of the person next to you there in your seat? And those of you that may be listening to this message over the internet or through a CD, I want you to know that God is never in any way limited by time or space. And when we pray for you, and by faith we reach out, and God will touch you right where you're at, whatever you need, healing in your body, salvation for your soul, deliverance, comfort. The Lord is with you, and you are blessed. And I want you to pray this prayer with me and pray it out loud and say these words. Father God, I thank You today that by Your Word and by Your Holy Spirit, You have revealed to me that I have dignity, that I have self-worth, that I have esteem, that I am honored, all because of Jesus. And I accept that. I humble myself before You, and I receive my position in the body of Christ. I am crowned with honor and with Your glory and Your majesty. And I will rule and reign over the works of Your hands. And I will bring glory to Your name in all the earth. Thank You, Lord, for restoring my dignity and giving me self-worth and glorifying Your name through me. In Jesus' name, Amen. Now, Father God, I pray for my brothers and sisters now that they will see themselves the way you see them, restored, whole, forgiven, healed, names written in the book of life, the greater one living inside of them. They can do all things through Christ who strengthens them, and they are more than conquerors through him that love them. And Lord, I just thank you right now that as we leave this sanctuary and go to our homes and go to the workplaces and the school this week, that we will walk with a new sense of dignity, a true sense of spiritual pride, knowing who we are in the family of God, knowing who we are in the kingdom of God, and knowing that we have little time to do the work that is set before us, and that we will use the authority and the dominion that you've given us through faith in Jesus' name to get the job done. And to you be all the honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand.